Blog Talk Radio.
Our message this morning.
And if you've missed some of our previous week's programs, You can always go back to Reaching Out Radio, and you can find us at www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And all you have to do is go up to the top of the page and click in and type in Brian and Leah Fouts, and you'll find us there on our Be Encouraged Bible Study Series. There you can listen to all of our previous shows and listen to them free on demand anytime that you want.
And we also want to remind you that today our sister Montel will not be on the air with us. So if you would like to contact us, you can send us an email with your questions and or comments to this email address, brian@hazakministries.com. That email is, again, brian@hazakministries.com.
And we are doing our show live today, and we just want you to know that if you do email us, we'll be alerted when an email comes in. You might even hear a little bell ding in the background. No, dear, that's not somebody tapping me on the head. But don't be alarmed. It's just a way that our computer will let us know that you are trying to contact us.
And we look forward to hearing from you.
And Lee, and we need to remind them and let them know that today is the last day that we're going to be doing a Tuesday morning show. Beginning next week, we, after much prayer, have decided to move to Thursday nights at 7 p.m. That way we can be on the air with our sister Montel, and we can take your phone calls again, and it'll be just a lot of fun for you to give a call us in the evening. So again, beginning next Thursday.
What time?
That'll be December the 3rd at 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. That's Central Standard Time, folks.
Yes.
We live here in Texas, so we're on Central Standard Time. And that show will start at 7 p.m., and we look forward to you clicking in then.
And before we start today, let's open the program with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day. We thank you for you. We thank you for Jesus. We pray for protection and healing for Montel and her mom and anyone else in that family. We pray for Reaching Out Radio. Pray against any technical difficulties, against any demonic powers in the airwaves. Lord, we just lift up Montel's mom, her family, her ministry, and for those who support Reaching Out Radio as well. Pray for us, for Hazak Ministries, and for the Lord to continue to use us to bring a message of hope, healing, and encouragement. And Father, we want to encourage those listening in today, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, amen and amen. Well, greetings from the hill out here in New Ulm, Texas.
Good morning, y'all.
And before we get started, Lee and I would just like to give you a friendly reminder about what we're doing on our show with regards to our topic and our discussion.
Our hope and prayer is that this show would be informational, educational, and should provide you, the listener, with some great ideas to help you in your daily walk with the Lord. So, Brian, let's get started.
They call me Mellow Yellow. They call me Mellow Yellow.
Oh, my gosh. Where did you find that song? I loved that song.
Well, my dear, it would be 1966, and Donovan's Mellow Yellow was a hit release that year.
And for some more music, in 1950, the musical comedy Guys and Dolls premieres on Broadway at the 46th Street Theater. So, Brian, what do you have for us in Jewish history today?
Well, today, in November of 1852, and standing on the balcony of his apartment, Hermann Goldschmidt would make a great discovery.
Hmm.
He discovered asteroid number 21 and named it after his beloved city, Lutetia.
Lutetia? You're kidding. That was really a city?
Well, yes, it is. But its real name today is Paris, France.
Oh, who knew but you? And here is one for those who love slapstick comedy. Today in 1888, the now famous comedian and harpist of Hollywood was born. That harpist was better known later as Harpo Marx, one of the famous Marx brothers.
Wow. Well, to string you along right back into some more world history here, it would be in 496 that Anastasia II succeeds Galatius I as the Catholic Pope.
And in 1434, the River Thames, that's spelled T-H-A-M-E-S, in London flows over.
Wow, freezes over.
Yeah.
And they say in 1925 that the first radio broadcast of the Dutch KRO radio goes on the air, and that was the Catholic radio broadcast.
Huh. Well, why would they call it KRO instead of CRO or Catholic?
I don't know. Maybe they're using euphonics or something. Who knows?
Turning to American history, it would be on this day in 1703, the first Lutheran pastor ordained in America. It was Justice Faulkner at Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeehaw. And for you Texans out there,
yeehaw, that's right.
It was a great day in 1835 that the Texas Provisional Government authorized the creation of a horse-mounted police force to combat some of the toughest criminals out here in the future state of Texas. That group would become known as the Texas Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go get a walker.
Yeehaw. And in 1954, the first U.S. presidential airplane was christened, and that is known today as Air Force One, although I doubt if it's that original airplane.
One would hope not.
One would hope not.
And it was on November the 24th in 1963 that we learned that Jack Ruby had shot and mortally wounded Lee Harvey Oswald. And Oswald, for those of you who did not know, he was the accused assassin of President Kennedy.
That's right.
So, Leah, what do you have for us in women's history today?
Well, I found out something really cool this past week. In 1930, Ruth Nichols set the woman's transcontinental air flight record, Mineola, New York to California, in a Lockheed Vega.
Who knew that Vegas could fly? Good old Chevrolet.
You bet.
Well, that was pretty cool. So that was a transcontinental flight.
Yes.
That was really interesting.
But there is something else really neat about her as well. All of the young girls and women out there are going to love this.
Like what?
Well, first, Ruth Roland Nichols was born February 23rd, 1901, and she passed away on September 25th, 1960. She was an aviation pioneer.
Wow, an early pioneer for women. That's really cool.
That's right. She was the only woman to hold simultaneous world records for speed, altitude, and distance with a female pilot.
Well, now that was pretty cool. So she actually held three world records.
Yep. And then there is this story. In 1959, as NASA's Mercury program was preparing for missions to the moon, Nichols underwent the same isolation, centrifuge and weightlessness tests that had been devised for the astronaut candidates.
Wow. Now, I didn't know about her and the NASA program. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, that was really cool to read about her. And history says that although she didn't pass all the phase one tests like those of her female or her male peers did in the Mercury 13 space program, Nichols performed well enough on the tests. And then she urged the Air Force scientists to include women in their space flight plans.
Wow. Now, that's got to be an inspiration, especially for young girls and young women out there. Something to really go for.
Well, here we go. Ta-da-da, ta-da-da, ta-da-da. And now it's time for our days in sports.
Well, and here's one item that'll have you rushing to look back at the history records. In 1957, it would be the Cleveland Browns fullback, Jim Brown, sets the club record of rushing for 237 yards.
Big Jim Brown.
Big Jim Brown. And to top out our sports history is this. It would be on November the 24th, 1960, that Philadelphia Warrior Wilt Chamberlain, better known as Wilt the Stilt,
yep.
Snags, are you ready for this? He snags 55 rebounds in a game against the Boston Celtics and sets an NBA record for the most rebounds in a single game.
Okay, Brian, what are we sharing on today's show?
Well, today we're going to be on part two of our study series on Thanksgiving. And again, we just want to remind our listeners that we usually use the New American Standard Bible version, not because that's our preference, it's just the way it rolls out sometimes. And we'll use a different translation from a different time to time because of maybe some of the words that are in there that are a little bit different that will go with our program.
Yes, and we also want to remind you again that today our sister Montel will not be on the air for us. with us. So if you would like to contact us, you can send us an email with your questions and or comments to brian@hazakministries.com. That email address again is brian@hazakministries.com.
And just another reminder, we look forward to hearing from you. And we just want to share with you that if you have missed one or more of our study programs in the past, you can always go online to the internet and listen to our previous programs. You can access this for free by going to www.blogtalkradio. That's BLOGTALK, blogtalkradio.com. And at the top center of the page, just type in Brian and Leah Fouts, and this will take you to all of our pre-recorded programs.
So are you ready to get started now, Brian?
Well, yep, I think so. I think we got all the other announcements out of the way, my dear. So let's do a recap of what we shared last week for our listeners.
We talked about the word Thanksgiving and what it means. It means to have thankfulness, duh, or the giving of thanks.
And that word Thanksgiving in the Hebrew is that word todah, and it means confession, it means praise, it means thanksgiving, and it means to give praise to God.
It also means thanksgiving in songs of liturgical worship, also a hymn of praise, a Thanksgiving choir or procession or line.
Well, that's true. And all right, so listen. So last week, we shared that it was for Thanksgiving. We talked about that it was September 1620 that a small ship called the Mayflower left Plymouth, England. And on board were 102 passengers, along with a group of religious people seeking a new home where they could freely practice their faith. And traveling along with them were some other individuals. They were probably sold on the idea and the promise of, there's prosperity and land ownership. Come on, come all to the new world.
And this voyage, by the way, was not a Carnival Cruise Line ship.
It wasn't?
No, the ship had to cross the Atlantic Ocean in late fall. The seas were really rolling, and the trip was unbearable. It took them 66 days to cross the Atlantic.
And then when they got there, as they say in Navy terms, they dropped anchor.
And landed right at the tip of Cape Cod, Massachusetts, far north of their intended destination at the mouth of the Hudson River.
Wow, can you think? Just 66 days of rough seas. Boy, I could just hear those people on board now screaming like little kids. Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Now that's funny.
Well, and historians say that most of the colonists, once that they landed, stayed on board ship. Apparently, they suffered from exposure to the weather. They also had scurvy. I had to look that up. They say that's a lack of vitamin C that causes swollen and bleeding gums and can open up old wounds. Could you imagine having an old wound from when you're a kid and all of a sudden see that thing opening up on you?
Ugh.
Feel like it's in a poltergeist movie or something.
Yeah.
And they had outbreaks of other diseases.
Ooh, yuck. I thought we got rid of that stuff last week.
Well, and then you shared some stories about some Indians.
Yes, I did. The history books share that by March, those settlers who were left came ashore. And when they got there, they had an amazing visitor.
They had their friends and relatives waiting for them on the beach. Hey, come on. Glad to see you.
You silly boy. No. You got me again. They had a visit from an Indian.
An Indian? Just any old type of Indian?
It was actually an Abenaki Indian. And this, you make me laugh, quit. And this was neat. Their name means people of the dawn, and they were the original natives of Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine.
Well, now that's pretty cool, Leah.
And here's something else really neat. When they met the Indian, he actually greeted them in English.
English? Really? English?
Yeah.
Nothing like Wanatanahi or anything like that,
no,
but English, huh?
English.
Isn't that fascinating?
Well, then he left, and days later he returned with another Native American from the Patuxet tribe. And his name was Squanto. You might remember that one from history.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember that name from when I was a kid.
You should. You were there.
Okay. Thanks for reminding me, Leah. I felt old already, but thanks again for making me feel older.
Okay. Squanto had been kidnapped by an English sea captain and then sold into slavery. Then he escaped before going to London and returned to his homeland on an exploration expedition.
Okay, now I'm still sure that there are listeners out there who want to know, so where's the Thanksgiving dinner? Where's the Thanksgiving dinner?
Hang on, it's coming. We have to tell the rest of the story here.
Oh, well, okay, go ahead.
Squanto taught the pilgrims who were weakened by malnutrition and illness how to cultivate corn, extract sap from maple trees, catch fish in the rivers, and avoid poisonous plants.
And here's something that's really important to know that maybe you didn't know about. Squanto actually helped the settlers, not only with teaching them how to cook and fish and stuff, but he made a treaty with the local tribe of the Wampanoag Indians. And this treaty or alliance that he made actually lasted for more than 50 years. And tragically, this remains one of the last examples of harmony that took place between the European colonists and the Native Americans.
Wow, I did not know that.
And today, this is now remembered as America's first Thanksgiving. Now, historians say that the pilgrims probably didn't use that word Thanksgiving at the time, but hey, the feast lasted for 3 days, dude.
Can you say party? Okay, we finished with the definition of Thanksgiving, the act of giving thanks, grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favors, especially to God, and the first Thanksgiving Day in America was appointed, but not by the pilgrims, as many people mistakenly believe, but by members of the Church of England.
Wow, now that was pretty cool. That was made by the Church of England. Well, today we're going to continue our study on Thanksgiving, and we have some more interesting stories on Thanksgiving, so be sure to stay tuned in because you just might miss some really neat things that you didn't know about. So with that, Leah, why don't you get us started?
I'd love to. So everyone, grab your Bibles, or if you're on your computer or have your iPad with you, turn to your favorite Bible program or website link. Then go to the book of Psalms, chapter 95, verse 2. And that verse says, "Let us come before his presence with a song of thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with songs."
I just love that verse. So, Leah, here's a question for you, just for you. So what does that word thanksgiving mean?
Well, here's what the dictionary says. It's the act of giving thanks, grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favors, especially to God. It's an expression of thanks, especially to God. And also, this is a public celebration in acknowledgement of divine favor or kindness. It can be a day set apart for giving thanks to God. It also is a harvest, a time of gathering crops, grain, fruits, and veggies, and thanks for that.
Fruits and veggies and thanks, oh Lord. Okay, so did you find something about this word this past week?
I did. That what the Bible means by the word thanksgiving is not necessarily what we think it means. That word has nothing to do with our outward circumstances in giving thanks, but rather it has to do with one's spiritual attitude toward life.
Well, that's kind of interesting, our spiritual attitude toward life. So basically what you're saying is that we should learn to be content with what we have in life.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This past week I found a wonderful verse that addresses that same question. Paul declared in Philippians 4, verse 11, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content."
So did you find something else, like a great verse that might go with this as well?
I did. This is from Psalm 26, verse 7, and it reads, "That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works."
You know, and I found this great verse to go along with this subject this week, and this is from Psalm 150, verse 4. It says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High." Now, that was pretty powerful.
Yeah.
So what does thanksgiving really mean to you, Leah?
Hey, I'm thankful for every day that I am His, that I'm alive to do my best for Jesus in all that I do, even when it seems that all I do is wrong.
Well, thanks for that, Leah. And I also asked you a couple of other questions this past week. I do that a lot now.
Yeah.
So can you share a special time of Thanksgiving that took place in your life with the listeners this morning?
Well, you know, Brian, I've enjoyed many great Thanksgivings over the years, most of them were with my family. Yet we've had other Thanksgiving Day celebrations with close and dear friends. Thanksgiving is a holiday that I believe was meant to be shared with others. Hopefully, listeners, you can do that every year.
That's right. And Lee and I shared earlier that we wanted to add a couple of other stories about Thanksgiving. So let me ask you, what do you think Thanksgiving may have looked like in the Old Testament times? And was there a time of Thanksgiving, say, during the time of Moses?
Well,
your dad.
Hey, come on. When the children of Israel came into the Promised Land, there was a celebration ordered for all who were there.
Yeah? Like who?
Well, because this is mentioned in the Bible, which is how we know that, it came from Exodus 12, verses 25 to 27. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version.
Okay.
When you enter the land which the Lord will give you, as He has promised, you shall keep and observe this service. When your children say to you, "What does this service mean to you?" you shall say, "It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for He passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt when He struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses." And the people bowed their heads low and worshiped God.
Now that is a great reminder. And if you do not know that story about Moses and how God saved him, we really recommend that you take some time out this holiday season and read about Moses and the Exodus. It's very powerful. And it's a powerful story on redemption, salvation, preparation, and of God's promise.
That's right. And we should also bring praise to the Lord during this Thanksgiving time. This is from Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations."
Ooh, thank you, Leah. And again, that was very powerful. So let me ask you this other question. Do you think that there was a time of Thanksgiving, say, maybe during the time of Mary?
Oh, yes. When the angel appeared to Mary to tell her that she would be the mother of Jesus, her words were this. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And apparently, she did not hesitate at all.
Wow.
But I think it's important that I share the full passage of what took place. Do we have time?
Yes, you bet. We have plenty of time. Go ahead.
I'm reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 38 from King James Version. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said unto the angel, "How can this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God."
Wow.
"And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her.
Now, Now, I know for some of you out there, this may seem like we're really talking more about Christmas and the Christmas story, but this was actually a time of Thanksgiving. And Lee and I felt that this would be very important to share with you along some more of these same lines.
Yes, we did.
And so this is one more story that we wanted to share with you. Was there a time of Thanksgiving during the time of Elizabeth?
Well, yes, there was, actually. Now, the story says Mary came to stay with Elizabeth, her cousin, after learning that she was pregnant, and Elizabeth was also pregnant. The Bible tells us what happened next.
Okay, so where is this story from the Bible? I'm sure that the listeners would like to turn to this passage in their Bibles and kind of maybe follow along as you share the story.
That's a good idea. Let's all turn to the book of Luke. When you get to Luke, let's turn to chapter 1, and we will be reading verses 39 to 41. Again, that's Luke 1, verses 39 to 41. I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible now. Now, at this time, Mary arose and hurried to the hill country, to a city of Judea. And she entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, her baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered by him. Pardon me, my tongue's all tangled up today.
Well, that's still a very powerful verse.
It is. The fact that when Mary came into Elizabeth's home, the baby in Elizabeth's womb jumped at the news of Mary's pregnancy, now that is a Thanksgiving by both women.
Wow. So since we're on Thanksgiving, if you were looking back into history, can you think of a time, either in the Old Testament or the New Testament, when there was a time of Thanksgiving?
Well, I had a chance to reflect on this question this past week, and I felt that I needed to insert myself into history.
So did you crawl into your DeLorean car and engage the flux capacitor?
Well, sort of. I asked myself this question: what would be the most important thing or highlight of my life that I would have gone through that would represent a time of great Thanksgiving?
So if you just got back from the future, what did you come up with after you got back from your time machine or your DeLorean?
Well, two things came to my mind. One was from the Old Testament.
Okay, what was that?
When the children of Israel came into the Promised Land after wandering in the wilderness for 40 years.
Okay, and the other?
The other would be from the New Testament, when the disciples and many others actually saw the risen Christ after the crucifixion.
Wow. You know, now that would have been amazing to have seen and to have been there.
Oh, yeah.
And here's this last question for you. Do you have another example of Thanksgiving in your life?
Yes, I do. Another example of Thanksgiving for me is every day. Each and every day that I wake up is a gift from God to me. I know that my life would be possibly snuffed out in a heartbeat. Therefore, my desire is to live it for Christ every moment. I know that I'm not always able to do that because I'm not perfect. Almost, Brian, just saying. But I know that God knows my innermost heart's desire to live and love as he did.
That was very nice, Leah.
So, Brian, how about you? Any Thanksgivings for you that were special?
Well, you know, every day that I wake up, I give praise to my Lord and King, you know, because it's a great day to be on the top side of the grass. And it's just another day to give him praise and to be used by him.
Awesome. Okay. So do you have a verse that goes with your Thanksgiving that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Well, I think that Psalm 69, verse 30 really answers that question because it also kind of speaks to who I am. And it reads, "I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving."
Now, I know that you told our listeners last week that we had some really cool things to share about George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and something special on Squanto.
Yeah, I did. You know, now, first, there is this article by Dr. Ralph F. Wilson with the title to his article that said, "Squanto, God's Special Indian, a Thanksgiving Story."
Cool.
He shared how Squanto had been captured by early ships to America. Then he was sold into slavery. Then later, he earned his freedom, and he came back to America. And then once again, he was captured and sold into slavery again.
He must have run real slow, huh?
No.
No, that's great. I was hoping you'd share that today.
Well, and then Dr. Wilson shares this amazing story. He said, when they got back and it was time to trade and sell the slaves, one by one, the surviving braves were pushed up into the auction block to be sold. One by one, they had to go up the steps and stand there to be sold. And finally, it was Squanto's turn, and he could barely stand.
That's really sad. How terrible, being sold into slavery. I just can't imagine how someone would feel.
Well, yes, it was. And, you know, it's really important that we all remember that there have been all types of people, cultures, races from all over the world that at different times during history that they've been sold into slavery. It is not one particular person or one particular race, but they have all at one time or another have been sold into slavery over
like
the
who?
Years. Well, there was Daniel. There was Joseph and many, many more. All of the people from Daniel, when they came in and took over the town, all of the brightest people were all taken out of Judea and taken over with the conquering people, and all they left were just the grunt people. There were no leaders, there were no artisans or anything.
Well, okay. I want to hear more about Squanto.
Okay, my love, I knew that you would. All right, so anyway, then suddenly, from the auction blocks, came this raspy voice from the slave trader. Señores, what would you bid for this strong Indian? And then suddenly a brown-robed monk nodded, and the auctioneer grinned. Sold to the brothers of the monastery. And then a heavy pouch of coins was exchanged, and the trader hands the monks, and with that, they take Squanto home. Once that they had him home, they got around him and they took the ropes and they took it off of his wrists so that his hands were free. A friar brought fresh water and plenty of food, though Squanto could barely eat a little because of all of the traveling.
Mm.
With that, he said, Estás libre, which means you are free. Squanto looked into the clear eyes of this man of God. Though he knew no Spanish, he understood. Over the next few weeks, he pieced it together. Their love for Jesus had prompted these Christian brothers to buy Indian slaves and to teach them the Christian faith. As the monks nursed him back to health, Squanto began to love this Jesus too.
What a powerful story. I love it.
I thought you would.
So what about George?
George? George who?
Well, George Washington.
Oh, that George. Okay, so you want to know more about George Washington and Thanksgiving?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, that would be great. Well, it turns out that in 1789, following a proclamation issued by President George Washington, that America celebrated its first day of Thanksgiving to God under its brand new Constitution.
Cool.
Yeah, and that same year, the Protestant Episcopal Church, of which Washington was a member of, announced that the first Thursday in November would become its regular day for giving thanks, unless another day be appointed by the civil authorities.
Wow, a proclamation.
Yes, it was. And despite those early national proclamations, official Thanksgiving observance usually only occurred at the state level.
The state level? Now, I did not know that.
That's right. But there's more to this story.
More? I'm all for more on
yes,
this story.
Yeah, it is. Well.
So, Brian, how did we get to where we are today?
Well, it turns out that much of the credit for the adoption of the later annual Thanksgiving Day may be attributed to Mrs. Sarah Joseph Hale, H-L-E.
So, who was she?
Well, Mrs. Hale was the editor of Godet's Ladies of Books.
Ladies' Books? books.
Yes, and for 30 years she promoted the idea of a National Thanksgiving Day, contacting president after president after president until finally President Abraham Lincoln responded in 1863. And by doing so, he set aside the last Thursday of November as a National Day of Thanksgiving.
Cool.
And over the next 75 years, presidents who followed after Lincoln set his precedent, and they too annually declared a National Thanksgiving Day. Then, in 1941, Congress permanently established the fourth Thursday of each November as a national holiday.
Well, that's a cool story and some great history.
And we have one more story.
So is this on good old Abe Lincoln?
Well, it is. Now, this is a great piece of history. Now, some of you may know some of the story, but you might not know all of the story. Now, history says that Lincoln's original 1863 Thanksgiving Proclamation came, spiritually speaking, at a pivotal point in his life.
Spiritually speaking?
Ah, yes. You see, during the first week of July 1863, there was a famous battle that took place. It was called the Battle of Gettysburg.
Oh, yeah. Seems like I remember this was a terrible battle.
Well, it was. And historians say that this battle resulted in the loss of some 60,000 American lives.
Wasn't it on total on both sides?
Yes, it was.
How sad.
And then, 4 months later, in November, Lincoln delivered his famous Gettysburg Address. And it was while Lincoln was walking among the thousands of graves there at Gettysburg that Lincoln committed his life to Christ.
Wow, I didn't know that. No one ever told us that when I was growing up.
That's right. And the article that I found shared this. As Lincoln wrote, he said, as he explained to a friend, he said, when I left Springfield to assume the presidency, mm-hmm. I asked the people to pray for me. I was not a Christian.
Huh.
And when I buried my son, the severest trial of my life took place, and I was not a Christian.
Wow.
But when I went to Gettysburg and I saw the graves of the thousands of our soldiers, I then and there consecrated myself to Christ.
Wow. What a powerful testimony.
It is. And he finished with this. As Americans celebrate Thanksgiving each year, we hope they will retain the original gratefulness to God, displayed by the Pilgrims and many other founding fathers. And remember that it is to those early and courageous Pilgrims that they know not only the traditional Thanksgiving holiday, but also the concepts of all self-government, the hard work ethic, the self-reliant communities, and devout religious faith.
That's amazing. We do owe them a whole lot. That's just amazing.
It is. And so just to wrap up about Thanksgiving, remember this. In 1621, the Plymouth colonists and Wanapeg Indians shared an autumn harvest feast that is acknowledged today as one of the first Thanksgiving celebrations in the colonies. And for more than two centuries, days of Thanksgiving were celebrated by individual colonies and states, and that it wasn't until 1863, in the midst of the Civil War, that President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a National Thanksgiving Day to be held each November.
Wow, 200 years later. What a great way to tie all this history together.
Yes, it was, and that was some great history.
Yeah.
So here's a thought for you. It's already November. This is the month that we all seem to run around like chickens with our heads cut off, or turkeys, gobble, 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 planning for that great cooking day. And it seems like we all get crazy and stressed out thinking about what to do for that special day.
I know. Do we decorate the entire house? Do we do both inside and outside?
Oh, my gosh. And what are our neighbors doing? Should we do what they're doing?
What are the relatives doing? How many people should we invite over this year? And what relatives do we invite or not invite?
Or just think, who's been naughty and who's been nice? Oh, wait, that's next month.
Yes.
Okay, so instead of stressing, we should be reflecting.
Reflecting?
Yes, we should be reflecting.
Oh, so we should be reflecting on why we should be thankful.
Yes, we could. That's what we should be doing. Or, if it's all about you, we can make a list of all the great things that we've done for this year and be thankful for that.
And you mean like, I closed that big deal and I got that big promotion, but then that leads to eye trouble, you know, I did this or I did that, and if I hadn't done this, it wouldn't have gotten done because I, et cetera.
I. You know, yep. But to really understand where you are in life, you really need to reflect on what you were made for. God made you for a particular purpose.
Are you doing what you were called to do, people? And what are you doing with those special gifts and talents that God gave to you?
So, are you just using them for you, or are you sharing them with others as the Lord intended? And, you know, sometimes we can get on that old complain train and talk about our aches and our pains, and my mama had this, and my daddy had that, and I got this, and I got that. And things would have been better if that hadn't happened, or if that just didn't go right. But you know what? It's not about that at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about how we are helping others, because when we serve Him, we are serving others. And when we are serving Him, we are rewarded by the King.
What does it mean to be thankful? The online dictionary defines this as being appreciative or expressing gratitude or to be grateful.
And that Hebrew word is yada, not a nada or yada, yada, yada. It means to confess to God. It means to laud, and it means to give praise, and it means to give thanks. Give thanks to God Almighty.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, how do we show that we are thankful?
Well, you know, we need to learn to display an attitude of gratitude in our speech and in our walk. The psalmist shares an example of this attitude in the following scripture passage. This is from Psalm 100, verse 4, from the New American Standard Version. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
You know, and this past week while I was sitting out on the back in my rocking chair outside looking over the amazing landscape from our back porch, just watching the rolling landscape and the moose and the cows are out in the field, you know, I was reminded of those things that I am thankful for. You see, I'm thankful that he turned our sorrow into dancing. And we'd love to hear from you, and if you've got time, you can turn around and send us that email to brian@hazakministries.com. That, again, is brian@hazakministries.com, and we would love to have your thoughts there. If not, email us later and tell us what your thoughts were. So, Leah, how about you? What are you thankful for?
Oh, for me, I am thankful that out of the ashes, he turned our misery into ministry. How about you?
Well, that's pretty cool, you know. And for me, I think that we are able to bring a message of hope and healing and encouragement to others. And that, you know, by doing that, we've learned to be open, willing, and obedient to be used by him. And that's what I'm thankful for.
And I'm also thankful for his restoration of our marriage. We even kind of like each other now again.
There you go. There you go. And thankful for the creativity and the music that brings a healing sound to others. I've always been amazed at the songs that the Lord gives me and that we've been able to pass them on through not one but two different keyboard albums. And
right.
It's not about me writing music, and it's not about me. It's about what the Lord has given me and the anointing that he's placed on those albums, and the music has really brought a time of healing and a time of love for a lot of people. And it's just amazing to see how God has used that to his glory.
That's right. And I'm also thankful that I'm a Christian and Jesus Christ is my God.
Well, but most of all, you know, I'm thankful that each day that I can, and I guess what the best way to put this is from Psalms 96, verse 2 from the King James. I'm thankful each day that I can sing to the Lord, bless his name, and proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. And here are some other things that Lee and I wanted to share with you that we are thankful for.
Well, I'm thankful that I have a wonderful life with my best friend, my husband, Brian. I'm also thankful that I live in a country that allows me to openly confess my religious beliefs and my lifestyle.
And I'm thankful that we live in the country.
Amen.
That's right. Not just the USA, but we live in the country, as they say. And we're thankful for the Lord that moved us here to the country because it feels so natural for us out here.
Also, I'm thankful that I have many friends, some from my childhood and some who are new friends.
And again, I like to remind you that I'm thankful that I live in the country and live in a great country of the United States of America that allows me to have my own beliefs in God, in Jesus Christ.
And we found these wonderful gems from the Good News Christian newspaper that's distributed locally where we live. These were thoughts that were sent into the newspaper. Got any more, Brian?
Yep. Well, it said, for the taxes that I pay, not because I like to, but I pay because it means that I am employed and I'm making money.
That's true. I'm thankful for the parking lot that I find at the far end of the parking lot because it means that I'm capable of walking and I've been blessed with transportation.
Yeah, and I'm thankful for that parking space. I always get up front when I go into the parking lot, too.
Cool.
You know, and I'm also thankful for the pile of laundry and ironing because it means that I have clothes to wear and that Leah has something to do. And I'm thankful that Jesus saved me.
Me too. He wouldn't have made it this far if he hadn't. So, folks, next week we'll begin our program at a new day and a new time. So pay attention.
All right. So next week, starting next week on Thursday, we'll be on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. And we're going to be there with our new friend, Sister Montel Fields. This is going to be exciting that she'll be able to be back on the air with us. And we'll be able to take your phone calls and we'll be able to talk to you and hear your thoughts and to hear things that you like and don't like. And we're just excited that we're going to be able to be on the air next Thursday night. Looking forward to hearing from you then.
So tune in next week as we begin a special three-part study series on the reason for the season.
That's right. That's going to be great. It's going to be the reason for the season. This is going to be a three-part series, which will take us the three Thursdays up until the Thursday before Christmas on Christmas Eve. We decided not to do a show on Christmas Eve because we wanted everybody to spend time with their families, and that'll give us a chance to take a short break for a week or two. So again, tune in next Thursday at 7 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio.
Also, just as a reminder, if you've missed one or more of our study series, you can always go online to the internet and listen to our previous studies. You can access for free by going to www.blogtalkradio. And in the top center of the page, just type Brian and Leah Fouts. That's F-O-U-T-Z. And this will take you to all of our programs.
You bet. That rocks, Leah. And with that, we're going to say happy Thanksgiving to you. I'm Brian Fouts.
And I'm Leah Fouts.
And we are with Hazak Ministries and Encouragement Ministry out here on the hill in New Ulm, Texas.
And just as a reminder, listeners, we've written a book on how we got our journey into ministry. It's called From Misery to Ministry. I'm sorry, Misery to Ministry. Yeah, I said that right. A walk of faith through the loss of a loved one. It's a wonderful book that brings hope, healing, and encouragement to those who've lost a loved one. Quit laughing at me.
Well, and it's easy to read, too, for those of you. Leah liked it. It was easy for her to read.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. So it's easy to read, and it will make a great impact in your life.
You can learn more on how to order this book by visiting our website. That is www.hazakministries.com. That website address again is www.hazakministries.com.
That's right, and there you'll find a paperback book available and a special hardbound edition book as well. And Leah,
yes?
Since you're so rushing this morning, isn't there something else they should know?
I'm not rushing. I'm not rushing either. Oh, yeah, when you order the book from our website, Brian and I will personally sign your book or books. We ship the books first class so that you can have it in 2 to 3 days. And if you buy one for a friend, we'll ship directly to their address from here. They make great gifts.
Wow, did you say they make great gifts?
I did.
Well, and also besides the books that are on there, we've got 2 wonderful keyboard albums,
That's
Reflections,
right.
and one called Joyful. And those would make great Christmas gifts as well. And so if you feel like you need to order more than 1 or 2 of them, 3 or more, just give us a call out here and we can make you a special Christmas deal. And so with that, thank you, my bride, Miss Leah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would like for Leah or myself to come and speak at your church or to your men's or women's group or that special event, grief group, a bereavement group or a book club or Sunday school, please contact us on our handy-dandy landline out here on the hill at 979-357-2215. That number again is 979-357-2215. And we also want to thank you, the listeners of Reaching Out Radio on Blog Talk Radio, for tuning in this morning, and for all of you out there in Radio Land who support the station and the ministries that partner with Evangelist Montel Fields. And it's been an honor for Leah and I to be a featured guest here with Evangelist Montel Fields on Reaching Out Radio, where we are reaching out to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. So with that, we wish you a happy Thanksgiving and a joyous year and looking forward toward Christmas. And again, thank you. And remember,
be strong and be chazak.